In the 85th Psalms this morning, beginning at verse 1, I'll read verses 1 through 6. The Bible reads, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Supporting scripture, Jonah, the third chapter, beginning at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Luke 13:5. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Wilt thou not revive us again? I tell ye, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. From those verses this morning, we're going to use a thought or a theme. He will, if you will. He will, if you will. Hallelujah. You don't never know what tomorrow is going to bring. None of us know what the conclusion of this day may have in store for us. But one thing we do know is that all of our yesterdays, our todays, and all of our tomorrows are in the hand and in the power of the Almighty God. And as long as we trust that God, as long as we know God to be the one that will do anything but fail in our lives, I believe that we have something that will sort of continue to move us forward. For the Bible tells us this morning that I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if we are pressing toward that mark, we will find that sometimes when we are pressing our way, it gets a little rough. Sometimes we begin to wonder, am I going to make it after all? And then there are occasions where we began to wonder and ponder, is it worth it all? All the many things that I'm going through, is it worth it all? But if you are a believer this morning, I want you to stand fast on the fact that God will never leave nor forsake you. God is always true to his word. He will do just what he said that he would do. And that's the kind of God that we serve this morning. All over the world this morning, people are talking about God, about the power of Jesus the Christ. And it was that Christ, that Jesus the Christ, that has made it possible that we, the people of God, can come into this beautiful sanctuary and lift up the mighty name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us this morning, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So we shouldn't look at it grudgingly when we come together, but we need to go back to where the old people used to say, when all of God's children get together. What a time it's going to be. We're already having a good time this morning, and we are trying to set the foundation for homecoming and revival. You ought to have a mind this morning that when you have somewhere that you can call home, you can always, I've been told, go back home. But there are occasions where you have to be careful how you leave. Because if you leave home in the wrong manner, there are things in your mind that will convince you that you're not welcome back home. But if you can look beyond yourself and realize that it's not all about you, if you can do what the Word of God says, God's Word tells us that if we would humble ourselves and pray, then will he heal the land. You see, the land is going through. And we can grumble, we can complain, but it is as it is. So now that you know how it is, what are you going to do about it? Well, there's an election coming up. That gives you a good opportunity to help do something about it. We can't sit back anymore and say they're going to do what they want to do. If you're 18 years old this morning, you need to register yourself somewhere and be ready to vote, because we need to make a difference in the world today. It's a good thing to know that God will make a way out of no way, but you got to learn how to help yourself. And you're not helping yourself when you take it for granted, when you feel like you are not important enough. Many people have died and went through a lot of things that we'll never have to face just so we could have that right. So why would you give up the right? There are a lot of things we can't do, but that's one thing that we can do. If you want to be a help to yourself, to the world today, you need to listen up and get yourself ready, because when November comes, you better be ready and be at the polls. If you are sitting in this house of worship and you are not registered, you need to talk to somebody. Don't let this go by and then begin to talk about what you should have done. Now is the preparation time. Listen to what's going on. All we want to listen to is a whole lot of mess. And that's why we're in the shape that we're in right now. If we would trust the Holy Writ, The Bible tells us that we cannot make it without God. But he also, when he taught us how to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if you want things to be correct and in order, we got to do things decently and in order. And the order of the matter is to get yourself prepared to help yourself. How many of us have heard ever since we were children, nobody want to help nobody that won't help themselves? But if an individual see that you are trying to help yourself, they'll make an extra sacrifice and bend over backwards to do the thing that they might not even be able to do. But because you're trying to help yourself, then somebody will be able to help you. It's time out for the pity party. It's time out for looking around and pointing the finger if you are not doing what you need to do. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wilt thou revive us again? He will, if you will. God has blessed us, and I'm glad to be here on this homecoming day, and I'm glad that God is going to allow us to experience another revival. And I believe that God is going to send us just what we need through the Word of God. Be mindful that from last year on that Thursday evening when we gave the benediction, until this moment right now, other than the time when we went to his daddy's church to support him in revival, I haven't talked to Pastor Wyatt. So whatever he brings us is what God sends us. So when it begins to hit you, don't say Rem K been talking to the preacher and he telling all our business. The word will find you where you are. You see, our mentality makes us believe that somebody been talking about my business. A lot of times, the things that I say from here, they come from God. Now, I tried to put it together with my human mind, but the Spirit leads us into the things that we are to say. And those things, they cut on the left and they cut on the right, but it's just not about you. The Word of God is for the ministers as well as anybody else in the house of worship. If you know so much about the Bible, then you will know the word when you hear the word. And if you hear the word, then you ought to be like that child and be a witness to the word of God. I believe God is going to even send us a word this evening to make preparations for what is to come. So I say to the members of Fowl's Chapel, let us be supportive of our own revival. Don't wait on the other churches to come in and do what they're going to do. Let us come and do what we are supposed to do. Let us pay what we've been asked to pay. $50 is not very much for the blessings that you want from God. Oh, I know somebody said, I don't have $50. I'm going through. I don't have a job. I don't have that. But you've been eating every day. You still got a roof over your head. God is still making sure you get your medications. And even though we grumble and complain, God seemingly makes a way out of no way. Anybody in here ever been to a point where you didn't know how you were going to get it, but somehow, some way, you got what you had to get? That is clearly evident that God is doing what he said that he would do. He said that he would take care of us and that he would supply our every need. As believers, we need to know that we can trust God to take care of us. We can trust God to sustain us in these trying and difficult times. And in this time of fellowship, when we join with the various churches and we began to realize that it is revival time, we should be praying that God will strengthen and restore, refresh and replenish. Because we got some needs that we can only receive from God. Now, when we talk about revival, no need to look around and begin to wonder who needs reviving. You don't have to look no farther than yourself. If you would just start with yourself, God, if you would help me get restored, if you would help me get a better mind, if you would help me be what I'm supposed to be, if you would help me be a better church member. I wonder why it is that church members can find fault in everybody else's work but their own. Some of us sit on the stool of do nothing, but yet we have a complaining spirit. Then we have those that we call the faithful few that bend over backwards to try to keep the house of God going. We talk about them. The Bible says that even when I will do good, evil is also present. So don't worry about the fact that somebody found some fault in what you're doing or what you tried to do. If you did it here, if you're doing it for the cause of Christ, do what you can while you can. Understand this, that your blessings are going to come from God. We can't repay you. I'm grateful. I thank God for the heart of the Cross family to recognize that a people have went out of their way, so to speak, to take care of one of our loved ones. But when we trust the word of God, we are doing what is in our duty. The work of the church is not just inside these four walls. And when we go out, we just shouldn't go out just to our own membership. Everybody is somebody. I thank God for the financial contribution, but there's something about the fact of just a mere thank you. That was a beautiful card, and we thank God for the donation, but very shortly after the service, Sister Barbara called me, and we had a lovely conversation on the telephone. And she shared with me her appreciation of the things that we had done. And that meant more to me than anything she could have did. I thank God for the heart that God puts in some of his people. Some people feel like everything is for me, myself, and I, and it's all about me. But there are some people that are still trying to do what God would have them to do. When I consider the fact that the reason why we need revival is the Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And being that we've all sinned and come short, we got to realize that the only way we can receive salvation is through the word of God. The word of God tells me this morning that there are none righteous, no, not one. So it doesn't matter how many things you list on what you don't do anymore. What about the things that you're not yet still doing? If you say that you are saved this morning, you are saved by the grace of God. Not of any merits of your own. It is by the grace of God. And when we realize that all of us have sinned, all of us have come short. So that puts us in a position where we need reviving. What is revival? Revival means a reviving or being revived. To bring or come back into use. Some of us, we can sing the old hymn, been on the battlefield a long time. But while you're on the battlefield, Brother Alvin, sometimes you get beat down. Sometimes you get a little weak. Sometimes you feel like you just can't go on. But revival will bring you back to where you can be useful. Revival is restoration to vigor and activity. Then there are what we call the revival services that we will hold from Monday through Thursday, where we will have Reverend Wyatt to come and stir up our hearts and our minds and our gifts, that we will have a mind to be better Christians or to be better people than what we are. So we stand in need of a revival. But let us now consider the question that David proposes to us. David says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. forgiven the iniquity, our wrongdoings. Thou hast covered all of their sin. See, we pick out sins. We pick out things that we know to be unrighteous, and we feel like that there are some folk worse than we are. We feel like that there are folk that are closer to hell than we are because they do this, but we don't do that. But the Bible that I read says that all unrighteousness is sin. But the Bible also tells me here, thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Do you remember? The word of God says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. I wonder this morning how many of us are here to receive our gift. The gift is not going to be in a beautiful box with a beautiful bow tied around it. The gift is not going to be that you've hit the lottery and you don't have to worry about working anymore. The gift is not going to be that every day from now on you're not going to have any trials, any tribulations, any trouble, any sickness in your life. Because the Bible says that in this life ye shall have trials and tribulations. Now, verse 4, David says, turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. In other words, God, before you get ready to chastise us for our wrongdoing, turn us away from our wicked ways. Let us look at the other side. You know, some of us got tunnel vision. We can't see things but just one way. But every now and then, you got to turn around and look and realize that there are other ways of doing things. We are not out for change. We don't like change. But in order for God to bless us and to pull us out of the mess that we're in, there got to be some changes somewhere. David asked God, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? God, are you going to chastise me? Are you going to chastise my daughter, my granddaughter? And I don't want to call that out. Some things you don't want to speak into existence. Because God knows I don't want this one to have one for a long, long, long time. You see, when you began to talk about your generations, it's the offsprings that come up in your life. So you got to be careful what comes out your mouth. A lot of us are in the condition we're in because we talk too much. And we need reviving. Now, what I love and the meat of this chapter for me is verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Now, what I'm more interested in right here is again. Because you see, some of us, we've heard somebody say, once saved, always saved. Well, now, the only way you can stay always saved is you got to have a continuing repentant spirit. That's how that operates. Once you accept God as your Savior, He is always going to be your Savior. But because you've accepted salvation, that doesn't mean you still do everything just right. I wonder if any of our saved Christians in here ever fell short. I wonder if any of our saved folk in here ever found out that you don't do everything just right. There are those of us that like to throw the rock. Hide our hands. But I come to tell you about somebody that made the rock. I come to tell you about somebody that gave you the strength to throw the rock. And I want to tell you about somebody that when you hid your hand, he was right there behind your back.
I don't care where you put your hand. If God always knows where you are. Anybody need reviving? Wilt thou not revive us again? There's that word again. So that lets me know that there are times when even though you've been on the right track, somewhere along the way, you stumbled and you failed. But when you fell down and you were rolling there in the mud and in the dirt, all you had to do was turn back over, look up to the hills, knowing where your strength come from, and have a mind and a heart like David and say, Lord, will you forgive me again? Now the devil gonna tell you, God tired of you with that same old prayer. If you got the same problem, how did the prayer change? Most of it is just common sense. Let me pull verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us. That's another powerful word. Us. Too many of us are worried about me, myself, and I. But our covenant say, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God, not by our mindset, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's what brings us together as a family. Many members, but yet one body in Christ. Those verses that I just read, David is making a cry for pardon and for forgiveness. He is seeking God to show favor and restoration as they began to get back in fellowship one with another. You see, when you are down and out in your life, you begin to get out of fellowship with God. So when you get out of fellowship with God, you got to learn how to appeal to God. To ask God to restore, revive, to show loving kindness, and to give, grant deliverance. That's why in verse 4 he says, turn us. We got to turn from our wicked ways. Wilt thou not revive us again? I know that we've been down this road before, but God, will you do it for me again? I know that I've had some trouble in my life, but God, will you do it for me again? Anybody in here need a again, God? Anybody need to know that God is a second chance, God? God, we don't make a way out of no way. And we got to understand that a lot of time, because of greed and power, that's why the world is in the condition that it's in. You're wondering about why we're going through this thing. We're going through it because of greed. We're going through it because of sin and unrighteousness. And if we want to be revived, if we want to know that God is going to make a way, then we got to change from our wicked ways. We gotta understand that in reality, we're in bad shape. The United States is in bad shape. It used to be a place where we say that we were free to be anything that you can be. But now it seems like everybody is going through this, that, or the other. On the one hand, you got the robbers and the crooks that are gonna take everything that they can take from you. Then on the other hand, you got the government and the world system that is gonna legally take everything away from you. It said that everything is all right anyhow. If there ever was a time that we need to change our mindset, it's right now. You better learn that we got to stop doing the thing that we used to do. We can't depend on yesterday to do what we got to do today. We can't depend on mom and them anymore. You got to learn how to depend on yourself. You got to know that God is a mighty good God. When I think about the goodness of God, and I look here in the Word of God, I find out that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you come short of the glory of God, God has sent you a messenger to tell you what you got to do. For we are just like just the people of Nineveh. The people of Nineveh had been so wicked and everything had gotten so bad. Well, look right here in small little Lexington. Crime is on the rise. Anything can happen. You got folk that don't love you. You got folk that'll treat you right on one hand, stab you in the back on the other hand. But I'm glad that I know God this morning. God will send us a word. Is there a word from the Lord? I stopped by to tell somebody that there was a man by the name time of Jonah, God talked to Jonah. Say, go preach it to the people of Nineveh because they've gotten so wicked and I'm going to destroy the land. Preach the word. Tell them the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But there are just some of those folk just like some of us. We got our own mindset. Can't nobody tell you nothing. Everybody seem to be against you. But I come to tell somebody that if you want God to revive this land, you got to change your way of thinking. The Bible said, when Jonah looked at the situation, said they're not going to serve you. They're not going to do what you want them to do. So I'm going to run away. But you can run, but you cannot hide. I found out that God knows everywhere that you are. When we look in the word of God, the Bible said that when the word of God began to be preached, for Jonah went the second time, he heard the word of the Lord. The Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Say, go unto Nineveh. Preach the word of God to them. Tell them what's going to happen to them. But I'm glad that somebody heard the word. For the Bible says that the king made a proclamation that everybody living, every animal, stop eating, stop drinking, and put on sackcloth. Sackcloth was a representation of grief, of going through your sins. When you're going through something, you got to give up something. You got to change the way you look at things. When I look in the word of God, the Bible said that he told them not to eat or to drink. We don't like to push back the plate, but the Bible said there are some things that only come by prayer and fasting. You better learn how to fast. You see, there are some of us, we eat too much anyhow, and we got to learn how to push the table back. We got to learn that if we want something from God, we got to give up something for God. If you want God to revive you, then you got to do something yourself. You got to change your way of doing things. The Bible says God will turn and repent of the evil that he's going to do unto you. God saw their works. He turned from their wicked ways. He realized that they had made some changes. If you want to be a child of God, you better learn how to change. You better learn how to do what God said do. You better recognize where you are. It's me standing in the need of prayer. I tell you that unless you repent, you got to forgive, confess with your mouth the Lord our God. Believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead. If you ask God this morning, wilt thou revive us again? I come to tell somebody that he will if you will. What you got to do is repent of your sin. Tell the Lord that you're sorry. Tell the Lord that you're tired of living an evil life. You got to put on sackcloth. In other words, you got to humble yourself. For the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then will I heal the land. I thank God this morning that God will do what we ask him to do. If you ask God to revive us, he will. If we will, if we live better, if we study more, if we pray harder, if we walk the walk and stop talking the talk, God will deliver us. Anybody in here need a revival? I'm glad that God sits high and he looks down low. God will make a way out of no way. God will give you a second time to get your house in order. God sent Jonah back the second time to tell the story of the Lord. If you will do what God said do, then God will do what you're asking him to do. If you will, he will. God will do what you need him to do. God will revive us. He will restore us and he will replenish us. But we got to repent of our sins. We got to turn from our wicked ways. You see, we are always asking God, Lord, do this. Lord, I need you to do that. But what are you willing to do for God? We got to be willing this morning to bring whatever is troubling us to the altar. And we bring it to God. If you trust him, if you trust his word, then he will do what he said that he would do. God never lies. God has promised us that he would go with us all the way. That means that when you're going through your bad times, that's when God is just sustaining you. When you feel like you're not even able to stand on your own two feet, God will scoop you up and he'll hold you and he'll rock you until you get your strength back. If anybody in here know what I'm talking about, anybody in here ever been at a point where you were about ready to throw your hands up and just give up on God and on life, but God spoke to your heart and said, hang in there and hold out, because I've never left you and I'm still right here. All you got to do is just reach out and I'll be right there. He's not very far away. You see, some of us act like he's far away. We're talking about we're looking for Jesus to come. He's already here. He's been here a mighty long time. And when he had to leave us, he said, one thing that I'm going to leave with you, I'm going to leave a comforting spirit that when you need help, I'll be there for you. When you don't know how you're going to make it, I'll be there for you. But what we got to understand is that just like the people of Nineveh, when you get into a wicked situation, you got to repent. Except ye repent, the Bible say all shall perish. So now if you don't make it, don't blame it on me. You heard me read it from the Bible. You can think what you want to about me, but I read it from the Bible. You have to receive what God says. And when we learn to look past the vessel and look at the word of God, that's when our blessings are going to come. Some of us miss our blessing because we don't like who's standing. And we put a deaf ear to what's coming out of their mouth. But you might very well be not listening to that deliverance that God is trying to give you. All you got to do is try the Spirit. By the Spirit, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Wilt thou not revive us again? Foul Chapel, we need reviving. Don't come in here this week looking to be entertained. Don't come in here thinking that you can shout it out. You can't shout it out. But you're going to have the word. Think about it. I jumped over what you've been used to when we talk about Jonah, because it's not about him and him being caught up in the fish. Today it's about that revival. For that was the greatest revival recorded in history, when the people of God realized that I can't do it my way. I got to do it God's way. But one key or one point I like to make about Jonah is that when Jonah realized that I'm the one that is causing all of this strife, and I'm the one that's causing you to go through what you're going through, he says, throw me overboard and you'll be moving in smooth waters. And God, in his mercy and love for his manservant, had prepared a great fish that swallowed Jonah up. And for 3 days, inside that fish, Jonah didn't realize when he got thrown overboard, I better take the word because I'm going to need it. He didn't have time to pack his word up. So the Bible says that while Jonah was on the inside, he prayed unto God. So you can't pray if you're dead. So inside this darkness, Jonah is talking to the God he believed in. And the good thing about Jonah is that his word, he had hid in his heart. You see, if you put the word here, I don't care where the devil trap you at. You can call even from the depths of hell and God will hear you. And when God gets ready, on that third day, God got ready and the great fish vomited Jonah out. And at that point, Jonah realized, I got to be obedient to what God has told me to do. That's what we got to do, Faust Chapel. We got to be obedient. Pray to God while you're in your hell. And know that while you're in that hell, the God that you're talking to, he going to bring you out. And when he bring you out, he going to bring you out on dry land. He going to bring you out above water. And everything is going to be all right. If we pray, Faust Chapel, God will revive us. Wilt thou not revive us again? He will, if you will.